You are listening to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. This is a Native American-owned and operated internet radio station broadcasting from the Missouri Ozarks in the United States of America. We offer listen-on-demand interviews with medicine people through our website at prophecykeepers.com. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, current kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine men of the American Plains, holy people of Africa, or the present-day Ottawehees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Levant, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. Thanks for listening, and visit prophecykeepers.com today, or simply do a web search for the term Native Prophecy.
Ozio.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter coming to you from Booker County in mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America. This is the November 20, 2004 edition of Prophecy Keepers Radio. And the elder that we're honoring today is Mary Elizabeth Thunder. For those of you that haven't heard about Grandmother Thunder, let me read you a letter of introduction for Mary Thunder that was written by our mutual grandfather, John Roland Thunder Pope. This is dated November 21st, 1986. Grandfather passed away, as I remember, in January of 97. He said, "As one of the first traditional Native Americans to bring our message to the peoples of the earth, I've worked with many traditional Indians. Likewise, I've also worked with wise ones from all the races of the earth. Mary Thunder stands as one of the best. Her integrity and wisdom have carried her all over North and Central America. In our tradition, we do not claim credentials as the white man does and receive papers to hang on the wall. In contrast, we simply do what we can do and are recognized by the people for our ability. Mary Thunder speaks with spirit, sees into what may come into being, heals the mind, body, and spirit, and interprets for the spirits. Mary has come into her abilities through traditional ways of learning. I'm proud to be her teacher. She has also studied with other traditional elders, such as Wallace Black Elk and Leonard Crow Dog, for well over 11 years. Mary Thunder is a trained counselor and drug and alcohol specialist. She cares about people. Mary Thunder deserves the highest respect shown to traditional Native American elders. You invite her to speak with your people and see for yourself that I, Roland Thunder, speak the truth. You treat her well and make sure she isn't hassled by pushy people, that she has a good, clean, and private place to eat and rest. Mary Thunder's spirit is one of transformation and renewal. She is a bridge between our cultures. I say that all the people should be given a chance to transform and renew themselves. We must change ourselves before the Creator gets tired of our tricks and shakes us off the earth like fleas off a dog's back. Osseo, Roland Thunder, Carlin, Nevada." Well, Osseo, Grandmother Thunder, go ahead and tell the people about yourself, and I guess we also have a guest, Angelique from Switzerland, is with you. And Osseo, Grandmother, how are you?
Osseo, Blue Otter, this is just so wonderful. Well, that brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
How much we miss him, huh?
We sure do. We sure do. Yeah.
He's the most amazing man, and the most important thing that I think he's ever said is, "I speak my truth."
You sure did.
I think that's one of the most gracious things any soul can do on the planet.
He was quite a fellow.
Well, what if you talk about Rolling Thunder stories all day?
Yeah, we sure could. We could do an entire program on him. I know. I don't know if they had a chance to listen to Ted Silverhand, but he Ted's his son-in-law. And he talked quite a bit about Grandfather Rolling Thunder and Grandfather Mad Bear and the two of them. The grandfathers didn't activate me until the year that Mad Bear died. And I'm beginning to wonder if it wasn't Mad Bear that woke me up, because I remember in the dream that I had, I just saw a full-blood Indian man. He had a translucent stone around his neck. And there was a key embedded in the stone, and his name was written in the stone, but I wasn't allowed to remember his name. But he just said very briefly, when are you going to do something about your Cherokee? And he mentioned the name, you know, and I knew the name. When are you going to do something about your Cherokee grandfather's genealogy? And that was it. And then I guess in 1996, we established Native Prophecy Net Center at Wovoka.com. And 2 years later, I got a hold of the book Mad Bear by Doug Boyd. And the first thing I did is I flipped to the back to the index to see if there's any prophecies in there. And the only prophecy he had in there was that he said someday someone was going to travel all around the world. And he was in the process of doing this before he passed. But he wanted to see a place or a publication or something, a way for people to take a look and compare all the prophecies of all the religions or traditions worldwide. And he said that we really will have something then. He really felt strongly that that would be an avenue for, and you know, what he did, he was a seaman and went all the way around the world and really laid the groundwork for the modern Indian unity movement.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, there was something else I was thinking about. He says, we ought to make a little trip to Virginia Beach to the Edgar Casey people. I've read up on all those Casey readings, especially the prophecies. I've got copies of all that stuff. And Nostradamus, too. Did you ever read up on the prophecies of Nostradamus? What somebody ought to do someday pretty quick is go all around the country, the world, really, and make a study of all the prophets, what they had to say. I bet a comparison of all their prophecies related to these next few decades would be an amazing thing. You'd think someone would jump at the chance to fund something like that. I mean, that'd be worth something. But then...
amazing.
Yeah. But he says there'd be many who wouldn't know how to use it. Maybe they'd get more passive instead of more active. Like I've been saying all along, most people get confused between foresight and faith, and that's from the book Mad Bear, 1934, by Doug Boyd. So that's, and then after that I realized, oh my gosh, you know, Mad Bear was R.T.'s friend, and this last year, well, I knew he died in 85, and then I remembered, right about the same time in 85 I had that dream, so I was kind of wondering if that wasn't Mad Bear. So, I'm sure you've met him. I know Robert Gostolf has met him,
and
Ted knew him well. So that's kind of the jumping off point for what we're doing with first Wovoka.com and now ProphecyKeepers.com, Prophecy Keepers Radio. So tell us what the grandfathers say.
What part?
I don't know. What are you doing on Thunder Ranch today? And tell the folks about Thunder Ranch and about your guests and what to do.
Thunder Ranch was established with a little edging from RT and most of my elders for a house for the spirit. We've been here since 1989. We just had our 15th year reunion.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. We do, it's a spiritual university. We have a sweat lodge, sacred pipe house, woman's temple area. And people come, and I like to think they just take a drink of water or nourishment of the spirits from here.
I know you've got...
It's a way of life, like every time.
We have a lot of activities. We've done a lot of traveling.
We've had really amazing gatherings. I was, I guess I could say the word fortunate, but when we're working in the days of money and et cetera, they were quite, left us with, we're working really hard for a lot of years to help pay off the expenses. But two world peace gatherings and several four directional conferences And all of them were attended by hundreds, over 100 elders at each gathering. And your dream and your speaking of bringing those prophecies together, that's kind of what we've been doing these last 15 years.
Well, I guess you might want to tell folks about, you know, what you're doing in Indianapolis, and then what happened in 81.
I was born and raised in Indianapolis. My mother deserted me, thinking that she was giving me a better way of life for being raised in another world. And my background, I guess the resume would be I worked in politics most of my life. I worked for the mayor of Indianapolis, was secretary of the Board of Public Safety. During that time, I had three wonderful children and then finished my degree in counseling. And somewhere around, the middle 70s, I started relearning my own roots and actually getting involved in Wounded Knee and meeting Leonard Krodock, and started observing a way of life that included Sundance. I wanted to pray that way back when to bring my kids together, because I'd had a pretty abusive life, you know, growing up, and I wanted to break that cycle of abuse. So, the ceremonies and having my children learn something different was pretty amazing. So it went on that way until 1980. My New Year's Eve, 1980-81, a week before New Year's, Leonard Krodock was visiting, and he woke up one morning, just made your day to hear something like this, but woke up one morning and said, Niche, you're going to have a heart attack, what white man calls a heart attack, and you're going to die and go to the spirit world, and then you're going to come back, and then you have to live a whole different lifestyle. So, a week later to the day, I had what was called an aneurysm and went in the hospital. And then 19 days later, I had an operation on my heart. And during the operation, I did die on the operating table, visited the other side, saw things, the spirit showed me there, and reluctantly came back to what we know as this life. A tremendously different person. So it was one of those major life changes. And I've been walking the spiritual path ever since then, more fervently, in a different way. One year from the date that I had the heart attack, Leonard told me I had to become a Sundancer. And I went to all my elders, including RT, and RT didn't practice the Lakota Way of the Pipe or Sundance, but he also recommended that I do that. And I've been just Sundancing and living this way of life ever since.
Well, it's been an amazing road for you, and you know, Ghost Wolf and I have kind of joked around that we're featuring most of the elders that are on the AIM hit list. And I think it's so ironic. I know. Rolling Thunder had a mind of his own, and
oh yeah,
he somehow, I guess back in the 80s sometime, there was some kind of an AIM declaration of war, and which was really signed by two people. You know, one was Leonard Zephyr, and and he's since crossed that line, you know, himself. And then there was an F list put together, and Rolling Thunder wasn't on it. Then he was put on it later on, and nobody could figure out why. And, you know, it's really sad because the American Indian Movement, well, you know, I guess it's duality and everything. It did some tremendous good. It lit some fires. But it's like anything, it can be used for good and evil. And you know, people don't understand there isn't just one AIM. There are literally hundreds and thousands. There's a couple of main councils, and then there's one, you know, there's basically two large sites to AIM that get split and, between friends, and you've got all kinds of different little organizations and renegade AIM people, and it's really kind of sad. I know, but you know, there's no growth without opposition.
I've got a whole different thought process on that. In the early days, when the elders started coming out, I was actually a trained warrior for the elders. As where, you know, you get my teachers of Leonard Kodak and Wallace Black Elk and R.T. And I carried a gun because they were precious people. And I was their protector and interpreter and get their coffee person. And then taking that step into the spiritual realm of sun dancing and making prayers for the people, I've seen a lot of magic. You know, you said my name was on the AIM hit list. When I got married in 1988, the man that married me was a very good friend called Dennis Banks. And when he showed up to marry me, I just smiled and said, "You know, Dennis, why am I on the AIM hit list?" And Dennis looked at me and laughed, and he said, "Well, I don't know." And that was a confusion, actually. Most of the AIM hit lists were, and it was my my married name when I had my children. And he said, "You shouldn't be on there." And I said, "In a way, I think I should." Because Grace Bonnet-Eagle used to say, the AIM hit list was the people that were out doing the work. And it gave us PR. So I danced and held the hands and the heads and the hearts of almost every leader of the American Indian Movement. I've been cussed, spit on, knocked down and kicked. I've been taken to levels of bliss and ecstasy with the spirit, and it's an amazing adventure. I myself am happy for the American Indian Movement. It turned around a prophecy and a sickness and a bias and prejudice that needed to be turned around. For the first time in the history, Indian people were getting attention. It's still going on, not much attention today. You know, every year we have a Christmas fund project that we help kids out in South Dakota and North Dakota. And I just got a letter from my friend who's head of the down in Cannonball, North Dakota, and in that letter she talked of two suicides, one child that tried suicide, alcohol and drugs and on and on and on. So we need even more attention. I'm hoping that the hatred in the hearts of other people and that hurt and that pain can go into another expression. Does that make sense?
Oh,
something that will feed us and nurture us, and something that will take us to another place where we held hands. Our tea was a heart teacher. And at one Sundance in California, I'm a half-breed, but I danced in major AIM movement dances and dance. It used to not be open Sundance like it is today. I danced back in the late 70s, early 80s. So what we're talking about is one-on-one. When people know each other, I don't think there's a problem. But when you get together and you have groups and somebody starts pointing a finger at somebody and somebody else makes somebody wrong, that's what's going on in Iraq right now. You know, we can't kill a person if we know them. So we have to make them bad or not good enough. So I think it's all like a consciousness of yourself. Back in the days when I fell to half-breed, I got half-breed experiences. Did that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And then when I just didn't care anymore, like RT would tell me, you're full-blooded, whatever, you know, I'd say, oh, okay. And it just doesn't bother me anymore. Many times I've gone in to negotiate because a local chapter of American Indian Movement was going to shut down this or that. And ended up, I just had a really nice dinner with friends, and we had a really good time, and whatever was supposed to be would go on. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure does.
So, none of the if you're doing your work, whatever it is on the planet, like you're doing yours, Blue Otter, you see what I mean? There's going to be all kinds of wonderful experiences to help define that work for you. And I think it is funny that someone, there was a recent thing about the pipe, and these people could have the pipe, and these people couldn't. And we got all those letters and all that yuck and whatever. And I said, well, the way I've been taught, we are the instruments of the sacred. So they can take a symbol away, but we have to know it in ourselves and in our hearts. And this ranch, I cannot tell you how many chiefs, shamans, curanderos. Oh, well, it's okay. Everything's good. And that's all we want out of life, isn't that it?
Friends, this is Will Bluewater. Would you think twice about defending yourself or a loved one from an intruder? In this day and age, would you dream of leaving your doors unlocked at night for fear of being burglarized or even attacked or worse? Would you? But when it comes to our own bodies, the doors to our houses are wide open all the time. The very air we breathe and the food we eat, especially here in the United States, creates free radicals that cause us to age and in some cases cause illness, some of which are deadly. Now, for the first time in history, there's a supplement called Protandim that is listed on the U.S. government's PubMed.gov website with many peer-reviewed studies all showing that Protandim is a proven killer of the free radicals that are aging and in some cases even killing us. Now, I'm not talking about killing one molecule of free radical per one molecule of antioxidants like the stuff we've been taking. I'm talking about killing 1 million free radicals per second, per molecule, and this is the very same antioxidant your own body produces. Protandim supercharges your body to create much more than it does without Protandim. There's an old saying that we are warned about in the scriptures. That's the attitude, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So let me ask you, how much money do you spend on food a day? If you're out shopping or at the beach, would you think anything of spending a buck or even more on a can of soda? If there was a vending machine that sold something that killed what was aging you or even killing you, would you even hesitate to spend a buck and a half a day? Well, now there is such a vending machine, and it's sitting right in front of you. It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
To help people and everything be good. So I honor yourself and those people. God bless. You're doing good jobs out there. Somebody's got to shake the bushes.
That's
get
right.
The birds fly out.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Well, I know, you know, Leonard Kodog, I've never met him, but I understand he's a really nice fellow. I've got some friends out in Utah. I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if you remember back in 86. This could get long, but I'll tell you the short version. It was really interesting because the day before, well, the day this happened, my son and I, Well, my family was moving into a mobile home on a mining company property that the mining company had abandoned, and we worked out a deal so we could, this is 22 miles south of Moab, Utah, about 100 miles north of the Navajo Reservation, and it was very windy that day, and we were just moving in, and we needed to change the pads and the evaporative swamp door, and my son and I are both up on the roof of this mobile home. And this is the 4th of May, 1996, and I just got this thing in my head, just this urge to look up, and we looked up, and there was this gigantic eagle in the sky made of cloud, and there was every detail that you can imagine. It was white on white, you know, in shades of gray, light gray, and but, I mean, it only lasted about a minute, but, I mean, you could see every detail. It left nothing to the imagination, and we both saw it. We didn't know what to think about that. Well, about a week later, was down in Moab working at the music store, and this Navajo couple walked in, and I told them what had happened, and they looked at me, and I said, "You're Bella Ghana, and you saw that?" And I said, "Well, I'm mixed blood Cherokee." And they said, "Well..." He said, the fellow said, my mom's a traditional Kayenta, and she and a bunch of traditional saw the same thing the same day. And then later on it was found out that two Navajo deities that day had visited the Rocky Ridge and had left a rather dire message that they needed to get back to their original set of instructions and original diet, or there was going to be trouble.
Yeah.
And so that following summer, a friend of mine who was about 6'4", redhead, blue eyes, and he's part Lenape from Pennsylvania, goes down with Alan Nevsky, who was a Bear Clan Dene Native American Church elder. And they go down to Sundance, and Leonard is the Sundance chief down there. And they had black people there, and they had Japanese people there, color. But you know, the only guy of course Leonard didn't have anything to do with, but the local Sundance chiefs were threatened to steal his pipe, and that, you know, we don't want you, and this kind of thing, and. So he went to Grandfather Crow Dog, and Crow Dog said, "Well, next summer you come dance Crow Dog's Paradise," and he did. And
that's great.
And they're hunk of relatives now, but it's, you know, it was so unfortunate because, the Navajo had the two deities come, and they missed the whole point, you know, and it's kind of bad. There's a lot of anger there, I guess, and. But it's, what's really interesting though is that my friend told me that the grandfathers kind of got their revenge a little bit. He said that Japanese guys killed a coyote and they cooked it, and I guess some of the Sundance chiefs came over to their camp and they were invited to come in, and they didn't know it, but they ate coyote.
That's
about the worst thing a Navajo Navajo would never think he'd coyote, but they did that day. So anyway, it's funny how things work. But,
yeah. I didn't care that day because I haven't danced at Rocky Ridge, but I danced at Big Mountain.
Mm.
So that's real close.
Yeah, not too damn
close. Moab there and all that area you're talking about.
By the way, if we get disconnected, I'll call you right back. But
okay.
That might happen in the next few minutes because I've got kind of a funky long distance service. But I understand you've got a guest there from Switzerland, Angelique.
Yes.
What have you got going on today there at the ranch with Angelique?
Well, let me just say this. I think that part of what RT's message was is that we really are all Indian if we got a drop of Indian blood.
Sure.
And we all can learn and become the heart of the adventure. And if all of us would strive to leave that life of taking responsibility for the earth, of taking the heart to kindness in life and helping each other and more tribal views, then that is wonderful. That's what it's all about, what's going to heal our earth. So my friend here, Angelique, is Sundance at Leonard Krudoff, her and her husband, and also at other dances. I met her there. She is from Switzerland, born in Holland, and has taken this message and this energy to her own country. And I just get excited about that. In 1997, I got to be with the Dalai Lama. And each of us had a private audience with him. And I was so in awe. We were supposed to have a question. And I just couldn't think of a question to ask the Dalai Lama. Some were asking, what's my karma, or, just these unbelievable questions. So when I got up, he was just the most wonderful human. I just love him. And he bowed to me, I bowed to him. We were just da-da-da-da back and forth. And finally he said, "Do you have a question?" I said, "No, I don't really." And he goes, "Oh, just ask me a question." So I asked, "Why did you have this gathering?" And the gathering was 15 traditional religions, such as Catholicism, Muslim, Sufi, Baptist, you name it. And we were meeting in France at the first Spiritual United Nations. And then there were 15 indigenous people from all over the world, the five colors. That's red, yellow, black, and white, and brown. So I said, "Why did you have this gathering?" And what he said was, "It is up to the indigenous and the traditional religions, the people to pray, to learn to get along with each other now and first, before something really bad happens to the earth." And that's where I got that line that I love, that if you get to know someone, then you won't kill them, because there's a relationship thing. So, Angelique, I'd like to introduce her and welcome her and tell them who you are and about yourself.
So
hello. Hello, my name is Angelique, as Tina said, with an unspeakable back name, which is Wanche. And, I live in Switzerland, and actually the place where we live, we created the same kind of setting as Sunga has here on Sunga Ranch. So we have people living with us, we have young troubled children living with us and taking care of them, we have quite large, we have ceremonies, and we have, besides that, a biological farm, and we just try to live a traditional life in this time. And I have had the honor to meet a lot of elders, Native American elders, especially Kusunner. And they taught us a lot. Because I think coming from Europe, we are very much rootless. It's like, it seems like we have traditions, like the Celtic traditions, but they don't go back to the original instruction. And I think that is what we were looking for, and that's what we found, and that's what we try to bring back to the people.
That's very worthy. Oh, we're back on the after short break. That's really exciting, Angelique. Now let's see. Are you Deutsche Swiss or French Swiss or Italian? And what's your mother language?
I'm from Holland originally.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm Dutch.
And so, because I spent 3 months in Europe at the end of 1972, I traveled with Up With People, and it was a Singing Goodwill Ambassadors, and I have been to the Netherlands briefly. We went out to Ostend one day, and they let us put our toes in the Netherlands. So, but my mother's father is a Hendrix, and I have two Dutch lines, his line and also another line that came into New Amsterdam about 1650. So I have a little bit of the blood from the Netherlands myself. And
yeah.
Well, we sure welcome you. We sure welcome you here. So tell us a little bit more about your travels and what you've been doing.
Let me see. Well, like I said, 3.5 years ago, we moved to Switzerland, and that has a lot to do with nature. In Holland, there's, you could see that when you would visit, there's not a lot real nature and not enough place. So that's actually the reason why we moved to Switzerland. And we live now in the Jura, which is real old land, original land, and it's beautiful. Other than that, I have been on a spiritual road since I was 18. I'm 37 now, so that makes like 16 years.
Yeah.
And I have been with a lot. I started off with New Age teachers because that is what was available. But after a long time of training, I felt that I was not connecting into the source, or what I would call original instruction, and I was really longing for that. And then before I knew it, I met some wonderful people and some wonderful teachers from Native tradition, and they have taught me well, but they always told me that there would be a day that I would find my teacher. Although she says she doesn't have students, Summer is my teacher. And so it was like, I think it's 7 or 8 years ago, that there was a Wolfram gathering, which originally was initiated by Grandmother Twyla Neach. And there were like 90 elders visiting, and in that time my husband was a center, and our people were cooking for the gathering, and that's where I met Mary and her son, Chief Richard, and a lot of beautiful elders. And since then, we have been visiting the U.S. a lot. We started Sundancing and coming for gatherings. And what is especially what touched me very deeply in Sunna's work is also her vision of the women's dance and the tradition for women. And that is actually something that is really necessary on this earth right now, I think. And I'm very involved with that. Because I see, and especially in the U.S., I'm so surprised that people have to fight to get their placentas after birth from the hospital.
Yeah.
That is so amazing to me, because in Europe that is a whole different thing. It's very normal that you get it back, because even if you're not, your way of life is not Native American, it can be Christian, it can be any way of life, it is a natural question to ask people, do you want to take the placenta home? And I have noticed that these last years, female cancer has been increased terribly. I noticed in my own circle we had 4 babies this year, and none of them was a natural birth. And that worries me a lot. And I'm so grateful for the women's bands and the women teaching that Sunder and I and a lot of the other women are involved with, because I think that we need a lot of healing in that area. So that is actually what I'm working a lot with right now. And for my husband, it's a little bit different. He's mostly the one that pours the water at our house, and he's the one that is following a lot of Keith Richards' teachings also, and he's working more with the men. But I'm very much into looking at what is going on with the women in these days, and what can we do to change this.
There is a growing movement of people who are deciding to make their lives better. At LifeVantage, we're in the business of change, of improving quality of life globally, and restoring the ability to make dreams a reality. Your quest for personal fulfillment begins here. Our flagship product, Protandem, the Nrf2 Synergizer, is the key to fighting oxidative stress. This daily supplement, comprised of natural ingredients, activates the body's antioxidant enzymes to eliminate free radicals, which cause oxidative stress. Protandem has been tested in the laboratories of renowned universities, such as The Ohio State University, LSU, and the University of Colorado, Denver. These studies found on PubMed.gov, the U.S. government's online scientific library, clinically show that Protandem reduces oxidative stress.
When I saw that Protandem reduces oxidative stress by 40% in 30 days, I was all in for the rest of my life.
Everyone begs us for science as an industry. Where's your proof? Well, we have that also.
LifeVantage is devoted to advancing Nrf2 science and leading the fight against oxidative stress.
It's at www.defendyourownbody.com. That's defendyourownbody.com. Visit us now.
Well, I think I might know a reason why you're in Switzerland. Back in 1986, Lee Brown gave a talk at the 1986 Continental Indigenous Council, and I understand that we're going to be that we'll have a video. We're having a video of that talk sent to us, and so we'll be able to listen to that talk. But in the talk, he said that each of the races has stone tablets, and he said that speaking, you know, as a Cherokee, he says ours are kept at the Hopi Reservation in Arizona at Four Corners. He said he talked to the people from the Black race, and their stone tablets are at the foot of Mount Kenya, being kept by the Kikuyu tribe. And he says that the stone tablets for the Yellow race are kept by the Tibetans. And he said the guardians of the tradition of the people of Europe are the Swiss. In Switzerland, they still have a day when each family brings out its mask. They still know the colors of these families, and they still know the symbols, some of them. Each of these four people happen to live in the mountains, whether it's the Hopi, the Kikuyu, all the keepers. He says each of the four races went to their directions and learned their teachings. And he says it was in Newsweek not long ago that 8 out of 10 foods that people eat on Earth were developed here in the Western Hemisphere, because that was our guardianship to learn the teachings of the Earth and the things that grow from the Earth. And so that may be why you're in Switzerland, because it seems like there's something about mountains. I know the Cherokee we've always been the people that have lived in mountains. And
well, and it's about tradition too, because there's a lot of old traditions still in Switzerland, especially where I live. And I'm learning a lot about that. And it seems like my neighbor can tell me what is the best moon to get your wood, you know, things like that. And still a lot of people have the old knowledge about how to use herbs, how to work with the moon, how to do a lot of things. So that's very interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And
you know, Europe needs that.
I think we need that. Yeah.
They really need that. They need to feel connected, because I think they've felt disconnected for a long time. And I'm glad that there's a place, and that you're doing something similar in Switzerland. And what have you? How long have you been at Thunder Ranch?
This time I was able to sneak out from my home for 2 weeks, but that was really miracle, because we have so much to do and so many people to take care of, and it was just wonderful. And actually I came because the reunion was 2 weeks ago, and I really wanted to see all the people that I got to know through the years. So I was actually very happy to be here. And tomorrow I leave and go back to my Switzerland.
Going back home, huh? What part of Texas? Yeah. What part of Texas is Thunder Ranch in? What does it look like there? What does it look like there? Are you in the Piney Woods area, or are you out in the hill country, or I'm not sure.
Right at the edge of the Piney Woods, pretty flat. We're on this side of that earthquake, and so we're not in the hill country. We're on the flat side, but we're in central, right between Austin and Houston.
Okay, I gotcha. So how far are you from the Gulf of Mexico?
Galveston is probably about 4 hours away.
Okay. Well, that's a good healthy distance. I know with all the earth changes that may be coming up, I get concerned for people living too close to the Gulf. Or I know they say that the Mississippi is going to swell, and you know, it wasn't just Gordon Michael Scallion and Loria Del Toy. I know dozens of people in Utah that had even more detailed dreams about the inundation that was going to be happening out in the Rocky Mountain area. And a friend of mine, they had, I guess it was back in 78, 76, somewhere back in there, they had a gathering of nations in South Jordan, Utah, and Mad Bear could drive, I guess, at that time, or he was diabetic. But for some reason, he had to have a driver come out to New York and pick him up, and we know her personally. And she said that that as they were just coming down out of the mountains from the direction of Evanston, Wyoming, you get to a point in the mountains that's Emigration Canyon, and you can begin to see the Salt Lake Valley. And she said at that point, Mad Bear just kind of freaked out and said, "Stop the car," you know, and just said, "Stop right now," you know. So she pulled over and he got up, looked around, and got back in, and she didn't say anything, waited for him to say it, and he says, "You know, it's really too bad." And she said, "Well, what?" He says, "That's such a beautiful valley." He says, "That someday it's going to be underwater." And, looking down at Salt Lake City, which is the elevation, you know, about 4,200 feet, well, the interesting thing is that if you look up on the benches in the mountains above Salt Lake City, you can see the old beach of Lake Bonneville, which would was basically up around 4,500 feet, and probably wasn't the water was that high, but it was, you know, or the continent sit on magma bubbles. And when things change, you know, continents go up and down, and a testimony to this is that the Decalogue stone was found a few miles away from Las Lunas, New Mexico, which is about 25-30 miles west of Albuquerque. And the Decalogue stone is a copy of the Ten Commandments written in the Phoenician language. Well, how did the Phoenicians, who were seagoing people, get, well, let's see, what is that? That's at least 800 miles inland now. So, you know, things change. And she took him on a tour downtown Salt Lake, and he looked around and said, oh, he says, you see that gold statue up on top of that building? He pointed at Angel Moroni, the Salt Lake Temple. He said, yeah, the water's going to come right up to almost to his feet, which would be right about 4,400 foot level. The Mormon Church office building is a couple blocks away, and driving past that, he says, oh, he says, you see, there's two maps of the world, both sides of the hemispheres, east and west hemisphere, on the church office building. He says, I saw those come crashing down in a dream. And the interesting thing is that missionaries for the church are told that if there ever is an earthquake, those huge bas-relief panels that are literally hanging on the side of the building are made to come to crash down. So, really, it's really interesting. And I know I live in the Ozarks at about 1,100 feet elevation, and I guess the Mississippi River is probably going to be, rather than 180 miles from here, it'll probably probably be about 50 miles closer before things are said and done.
Do you live in Arkansas?
I live in I live right in the middle of Missouri, about 50 miles north of the Arkansas state line.
Okay.
I'm in the Ozark Mountains. It's an ancient, they say it's the oldest mountain range in the world, or something. But it's an ancient limestone hill. This is where Rolling Thunder's home. He was from the Kiamichi Mountains, which is kind of part of the Ouachita Mountains, are just south of the Ozark Plateau. He was from this kind of an area, is where he was from. And his people were Chickamauga Cherokees like mine, and they were denied citizenship in the Cherokee Nation, so they were adopted into. Well, the Muscogee Creek took a lot of them in, and a lot of them went to Alabama. But it's pretty. It's a mixed deciduous and evergreen forest here. A lot of water. 14 of the 15 largest springs in the world, if I remember correctly, are here. And we like it here. We like it here. It's a beautiful place. You can still hunt. And There's still game around, and not many jobs, but it's a pretty safe place to live. But you're in a pretty part of the country. Well, what do you see happening here, Grandmother Thunder? Has Spirit told you anything about what might be happening here in the next couple of years? The reason why I asked is I was told back in March of 2005, or March of 98, rather, that 2005 would be known as the year of the Great Havoc because the weather was going to get so bad. But we're already starting to see some of that. So just wondering what you see for the near future.
Well, one thing I wanted to say is my son, he was made a chief by Leonard Crudog, and he lives down in Arkansas, a little town called Fox.
Oh, really?
I don't think it's that far away from you up there.
Yeah, was Sparky Shooting Star or live there? Or Suzanne?
No, my son, Chief Richard. Richard Grimes.
Yeah, there was somebody else that was a friend of yours that was on your website. This is from Fox. And I kept...
Yeah, you mentioned Sparky Shooting Star. Now, she actually stayed at our case a year or so. they were in love in the end. That's wonderful. But she's an amazing teacher. She's up in Massachusetts now.
It's Suzanne Day's address is in Fox.
Huh?
Suzanne Day.
Suzanne Day, right. She lives in the Valley. My son has formed an organization called Future Seeds, where they take in troubled youth, as Angelique said. And my son's got six little guys himself, and then he has two or three others. And I just talked to my daughter-in-law today, and they just got a call of 18-year-old boys coming down. And then tomorrow, someone from the farm there is going to meet someone in Oklahoma. A little boy, his father just died, and his mother just tried to commit suicide. She's real crazy right now. So they're bringing an 18-year-old boy, or 8-year-old boy.
Wow.
To be with them. So they're doing a lot of amazing work with no money. The court system in Arkansas just loves the program, is always sending kids over.
Wow.
But they they don't get any money. I said, how are you going to feed all these kids, son? You know? So it's just amazing to me how we can all work on faith. And,
well, they are, they are 150 miles just about due south of here.
Okay, good. Well, it's not all that far.
Not too far.
Pretty area.
It is. It's the Ozarks is a beautiful place.
Well, you were talking about earth changes. And Spirit brought me to this place. I call my home South Dakota. And then I was born and raised in Indiana. So Texas was a real stretch for me. And I had the privilege of meeting with and becoming friends with Gordon Michael Scalia. I heard you just say his name.
Uh-huh.
Another beautiful brother that did a lot of awareness for earth changes, the Sun Bear. And although I never was a speaker for Sun Bear, I attended almost all of these gatherings because I was taking care of Grandma Gray Spotted Eagle and Grandpa Wallace Blackout. And they were pretty featured speakers with him. So when I saw that there are two maps that they each had, Sun Bear had in his book, and Gordon Michael Scalia gave me a map, it looked like where we were was going to be underwater. So I wrote him those little notes and said, well, what do you think? Does Spirit do a joke on me, or what's going on? Am I just supposed to pray here, or what? And both of them wrote me back and said, no, you're going to be fine. It's just going to be beachfront property.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, hey, I might have a condo on the beach someday.
Hey, what the heck? And well, you mentioned...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, prophecy is amazing. Spirit is forever sharing with me that, you know, life is such a tangible thread. And we are just blinks of our eye in this existence, in a sense. So it's what you do from your heart and to make that difference in the world. We've seen amazing prophecies of weather changes. And Spirit seemed to get very excited a while back about Yellowstone.
Uh-huh.
An activity that everyone was denying and still denying. But isn't it funny that right down that line is Mount Shasta?
Uh-huh.
And it seems to be a little active. So I don't think the predictions and the spirit information that was coming about Yellowstone was all that off.
Well, Rainier was rumbling last week, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever been to Manitoka?
Where's that at?
It's in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, I have.
What's interesting is the week. Well, somebody called into. Of course, we've interviewed the elder down from Minnetonka, but Lee, Grandfather Lee. But I was listening to the Coast to Coast show the week that Mount St. Helens was heating up, and somebody called in from California and said that they were from Hot Springs and that they had a close friend who was a Park Service employee, and the Park Service employee had said, well, you know, guess what, I've been sworn to secrecy. Basically, they said that there were scientists running all over town because the hot springs were getting so hot in Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is, you know what, 18, 19, maybe 2,000 miles away from the volcano, you know.
Hi.
So, you know, don't tell me they're not connected, because they are. It's,
I don't know. Have you ever heard of a wonderful teacher by the name of Jumbo Melchizedek?
I have.
I just was talking to him on the phone the other day, and he said Mount Shasta is connected to four other ranges also. And if they go, we don't have to worry about anything because we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, sure,
you know, what I don't understand, we just had an election. And I don't want to get into that. But I do want to get into the fact that Colin Powell put in his resignation and stepped down.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very well loved by the, what do you call it, the servicemen and women.
Yeah.
Now we have the lady taking over. Before she's taking this over, what's happening? She's having an operation on her womb to take out tumors.
Oh, my God.
And to me, sometimes that's about not nurturing. And that makes me really worried that everything's connected to the earth. You know, our breath, we're a part of the earth. The very makeup of our bodies is the same as the stars and the earth. And what people don't understand is this connection all over the planet. You know, how can we just, well, I don't like the news, let me turn it off. I don't like to see that kind of thing. But do the people in Iraq have that availability? They can't turn off what's happening to them. So if you're going to turn it off, at least make a prayer, you know, before you turn off that television station. The spirit forever is telling me that we still have to change, that the earth is sick, and we've made her sick. We're the virus that's made this earth sick, and we have to eradicate ourselves in a sense of our energies, you know, of our thoughtlessness, of our refusal to accept the simple term that we are all one. You know, we just don't want to believe it. The man I argue with, he's me. The woman that I argue with, she's me. We are our own making. Have you seen that movie, What the Bleep?
No.
Oh, you gotta see it.
What was it called?
What the Bleep.
What the Bleep. No, I haven't seen that yet.
What the Bleep Do We Know?
Oh, that, okay. Okay. No, yeah.
It's what Sid's been saying to me since I've been trained to let the spirit come through. That day, I heard all these things. I was in that movie, and I celebrate that now. And it's even wider, and it's, the spirit's working as hard as it can to give us these prophecies, to let us know what's happening, but it won't be heard sometimes. You know, you're talking about the prophecy stone. I can't remember what year it was, but early 80s, the Navajo elders and the Hopi elders took us to see the stones. And we saw them. And at the same Sundance, Rinpoche from Tibet come over, and I think it was Tibet, or I can't remember. I think Tibet. And the Hopi elders prayed over the stones, and the Navajo elders prayed over the... They put down their own arguing to pray over this beautiful stones, and then they went and took corn and laid it out. And all the elders, Hopi, Navajo, and the Tibetan, and Leonard Kodak, and all the elders prayed over this corn and gave it to each of the Sun Dancers, and I still have that corn today. I hand it out to people. Hold on to this kernel. Planet. Create something. A life. Does that make sense?
Oh.
So, people are doing the best they can. I've been listening to these prophecies. I've been so privileged to hear these prophecies. I think your dream of bringing them all together could very well be the answer, but are those people going to hear that result of bringing them all together? Are they going to stop the war? Are they going to stop fighting within themselves? Are they going to stop killing themselves? I heard you talk about food. And I went to Mexico, to the Yucatan, and I met an old man there, 126 years old. He was the king of the Lacandones and the king of all the temples. And his name, I think it was King Chung King. I can't remember. Chung something. I could look it up. But I met him, and he was really little. He was only about 4'11". But he was 126 years old. And so we were having wolf songs. Two, and I asked him through five interpreters, that's how many it took for us to talk together, what is his words for peace? And he talked about to go back to the natural foods, and I heard you say that. So how can this 126-year-old elder, who hadn't talked to anybody but a month before, he decided to take people and his son found me in the midst of Mexico and took us up there. How could he say the same thing as the Lakota elder over here, as the Brazilian over there? Something has to be going on.
What?
So I'm wondering if maybe Angelique could talk about their farm and what they do with the natural growing. Would you like to hear about that?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Okay. So, we got this beautiful opportunity to take over organic farm. And so we are organic farming, but also making cheese, actually we try to create self-sustaining life. And we not only do that for ourselves, but we do that for people to show them and to teach them. Because a lot of people don't even know what is out there in nature that you can eat and how to survive, but a lot of people don't even know how to grow their food and how to eat food that is more healthy. But the main thing for me is with the organic farming is that you give back to the earth, that you keep a maximum of ecological balance and a relationship with the earth in giving and taking. So you receive all this beautiful food, but you give back to the earth by not taking so much that you pollute that earth. Is that the right word? Pollution?
Uh-huh.
And that has been an interesting journey, especially because we have never learned to be farmers, but we have excellent people that help us to learn this. And I just love it. But I think that when I'm here, so I come now from a farm and we eat organic. We grow our own wheat and make our own bread. And then I try to find some food here in the U.S. that nourish me. And that is very hard. It's very hard to eat what you people are eating here when you used to have have these different tools. So, but actually, the reason why we want to bring that back in awareness of people that what you eat is so important, and it is such a difference if you eat a hamburger from McDonald's or you eat a piece of meat from our own cows. It's a world of difference in how you digest it and how it makes you feel. But I think that there is a lot of organic farming in the U.S. too, and I'm very happy about that, because we have to stop abusing the earth and abusing ourselves by eating the wrong things. And the way we get these foods, that's important too.
Well, actually, the farming in the community, you know, according to everybody that's seen what's going to happen, and you know, after the earth changes, you know, if you don't know where your food is and where your water is, and aren't living in right relationship now, you're not going to make it. that's what you're building right now is this all things common. Which is also a biblical teacher, principle. A lot of people seem to miss the biblical principle of living all things common and living close to the earth. So I applaud what you're doing. Gordon Michael Scallion said this is what people need to do. They need to form rural, cooperative, agricultural, small societies.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
And just create that group of loving people that care about each other, care about the earth, and get out of their own emotions and their own addictions to their trauma dramas and strive to live in a peaceful coexistence. I agree.
Yeah, it's very, very important, folks that are listening out there. If you can't find one, start one.
It's
time's getting very short. Time's getting very short. Like I said, I was told back in '98 that 2006 would be 2005 would be known as the year of the great havoc, because the weather was going to become so bad that it may even cause to shut down a lot of the computers on the planet. So, and I hear recently been wondering whether that might have something to do with the sun. That was earlier this year, I started wondering that because of what's going on with all the coronal mass ejections. And about 2 weeks after I began wondering that, in the connection with the weather, the National Weather Service started including forecasts in their daily weather forecast. They began telling people what's going on the sun. So I'm looking real close at what's going on in the sun, because the coronal mass ejection at the right time could shut down every satellite we've got, which would shut down all our communications, which would basically put us back in the Stone Age.
Yeah. Well, everything, you know, the old ones say is an abuse of our powers. The power of the fire has been abused by the nuclear, and because the nuclear then has affected the sun. And why we can't get we're doing this to ourselves is pretty amazing.
Yeah, everybody's abdicated their responsibilities. The black people have the responsibility for water, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And white people for fire. No, I guess it was the... No, I think it was the yellow people had responsibility for the air, and the black people for water, and the white people for fire, and red people for earth. And everybody's abdicated their responsibilities. You can't even hardly find a traditional Hopi now. And if you did, it's impossible for them to farm, because the weather has been changed so drastically down there. They can no longer they don't get the lightning strikes there, which is affecting how much rain falls. They do get clouds that pass over there in the summer, but they don't they rain a little bit, they're not raining like they used to. So everything's out of order.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing too, because we know well, in the Bible says that this period of time would be, everything would be out of order, and it kind of has to be that way before things can be set back in order. And it's not all bad. We know we're getting, it's kind of, probably going to get worse before it gets better, but we're the thing that keeps running through my mind is that we are standing on the threshold of a dream, standing at crossroads.
Well, and we're at choice whether to create from that dream heaven or whether to create from that dream hell. And however it is we create it, is what we all got to live together in it. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, that's right. That's you hit that nail on the head. So,
you know, one of the things that Angelique talked about was our work together concerning the women. And I was very male accomplished. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And attributes like in the political arena going upwards, and then I knew how to be a warrior, and then I became a sun dancer. That's pretty male situation. But I didn't know how to really to be a woman. And even when I would ask Grace Spotted Eagle and other grandmas, they would say, there are no women ceremonies. They're all men and women, and blah, 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 blah. And so one day, we spent a couple of years, Grace and I, just going around to all, a lot of the grandmas in Pine Ridge, Rosebud, and talking to them about the old women's ceremony. So in 1994, after Grace passed away, she wanted me to start these women's dance. And 94 is the year of the birth of the White Buffalo. So I had a vision of the White Buffalo cast woman, which then resulted in going to Gainesville, Wisconsin, and meeting the Hiders and Miracle herself. And we started the woman's dance. This will be the 11th year of the dance. And all I do is just lead the dance. All the sisters make up their own rules, regulations, what they want to do. And then I facilitate those old ceremonies. And old ceremonies of birth and the maintaining of the baby cord and creating a bag with that cord in it. Becoming a young woman. Women that are going to get married. When they're going into the grandma stage, there's all these ceremonies that we do that celebrate those natural transitions in our lives, and it's really exciting to be doing that again. It's like celebrating the season of the year and the timings of the moon and the moon and the stars and the sun, and it's getting it back into that natural rhythm. So when you're saying we're out of balance, the more we do to get acclimated to, you know, how many people listening today know the star constellation you were born under or the exact star. Does that make sense? And all of our old ones, that's what they knew. That's how they named the child. That's how they, you know, set that child in motion on the stepways or pathways of their life. And we go so fast. You know, we went through the quickening, which I think we're still in. But I had a vision. A long time ago. And in the vision, I saw explosion. And then there was two sons. So, I forget what year it was, but it was the day that the supernova exploded. And I looked at that Time magazine, and there was two sons. And I'd also then talked of many of the elders that had talked about the prophecy of the blue star Katrina that would show itself in the sky and be a signal of the time of the quickening. And in the vision, what it showed me, these two sons, Mother Earth and the Father Sky, would make love. And that explosion would be a symbol of that lovemaking. Then seeds of the new consciousness would rain down. Then I found out there was something raining down on us. It was called neutrinos. Einstein had developed a theory for a machine that would count neutrinos. And it counted them every once in a while, but I have a friend at NASA that told me they took off right after the supernova exploded. So those neutrinos go right down through us, the Earth, all the way through to the other side. And what are they? They're seeds of consciousness. So then Mother Earth would get pregnant. Well, what kind of baby was she going to have? That's what we're deciding right now. Mm-hmm. 2012. Whatever the thoughts of all the prophecies that you heard that day, a lot of them come to that date. 2011, 2012. And that's the day she gives birth. What's she going to give birth to? Does that make sense?
Yeah, good question, because the Tibetan Kalachara, the East Indian teachings, they're all coming in, you know, right around that time, you know, give or take a few years. Matter of fact, we had Hunbat Smen on not long ago, and he explained that, you know, 2012 is kind of the beginning. There's about another 15-year period after that. We've had Jaime Perez on also. They really kind of look forward to the 2027 as being the time of the real change. 2012 is the beginning. But I guess because of Jose Arguez, you know, everybody's kind of...
I think that's what we've all been preparing for.
Yeah.
Are the angels we've been waiting on. We are the prophets we've been waiting on. It's now our time to embrace this. So many of the old ones are gone. You talked about Mad Bear Anderson. Archie, God bless Archie's heart. Ted Silverhand, he's not gone. He's still out there.
Uh-huh.
So you see what I'm saying? There's so many. We have been totally blessed. But anything that we want to know, we can find a teacher on the planet, right?
Oh, the information is just, it's there. This is a time of real information. It's so easy to get the information, and I think a lot of people don't appreciate it.
And I believe in action and movement. All of our teachings is to get out of ourselves into movement of doing different chores or duties or whatever, so that the spirit, how people come out to learn.
Right.
So I think, in what you said, you did it that natural way of dreams, and then you went out and saw it. But I imagine when you found what you were thinking, it looked a little different, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And you had to do a lot of work, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm forever amazed at people that come and want to have a healing. And then they proceed to tell me how they want to be healed their way. And I have to tell them, go away.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with the spirit. If you want a healing, you got to do this. You got to do this many times and this many foods and this whatever. And then we'll see what the spirit says. You know? And, so come out here to learn with a little tablet and a piece of paper and want to sit at my knee. But you don't want to do that. You might get run over. You know, when I get up, I'm moving. Or, you know, if you want to learn, okay, wash dishes with me. Cook a cake with me. Or bake a cake. you know, go to the, you see what I mean? It's nothing about me.
Right.
It's about the spirit.
Well, my,
all I got to do is provide the jobs that need to be done for
that's
the
right. My wife, gentleman, wanted me to ask you if she has type 2 diabetes. And she said, hey, is it possible for to get a, some kind of a healing?
Well, you tell gentlemen. First of all, I have a magnificent son that does a Uwipi, which is a house ceremony.
Uh-huh.
They tie him up in a blanket.
Yep.
And, you know, the spirit comes and unties him. And he's a magnificent healer. I had to laugh. You're asking me. Last week, I was just diagnosed with diabetes. So, you know, first thing he told me was, Mamas, we're going to do a ceremony for you. So, tell gentlemen that to contact my son, Chief Richard, and or she can come down here and he can come in. We got a ceremony house, and he does the healing down here. I'm telling you, you know, I've seen some pretty amazing healings of the spirit either working through me or working through my son or, you know, major elders. And the first healing that the elders had me do, you know, up until that time I was making coffee. That was my great strength. And the joke is I don't drink coffee. So, to make sure, it was great. You know, and doing dishes, you know. That was my spiritual expertise for many years, you know. I don't. And one day I was down at Crow Dog Paradise, and Grandma Mary said, there's a little boy coming with muscular dystrophy, and he needs to get a healing. I said, wow, cool. And he said, she looked at me, she said, you're going to have to do that healing. And I looked at her like she was crazy, like, you know who you're talking to here, Grandma? You know, it's me, Thunder, you know. I know how to make coffee. And she said, you know, that's the problem, is you would think you were doing the healing. The truth is, spirit does the healing.
Yeah.
You provide the space. So the little boy did get a healing that day.
That's something.
And another time, Walt Blackout, God bless him, he just passed in the spirit.
Who?
Wallace Blackout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And at the funeral, we were talking about one time Grandpa said, we was at a big gathering, and I was actually packing up their bags for him at the time, and Grandpa said, hey, Thunder, go down and build a fire for me. Oh, okay. And then he come back. He goes, well, here, take this eagle feather and do a healing on this man. Well, the man had showed up at the door of the little apartment we were in, or where, whatever was provided for us at the gathering, and he was throwing up blood because he had ulcers. And I was just like, the Grandpa said, you want me to do that healing? And then Grace said the very same thing. Thunder, it's not about you. The world isn't about you. Thunder, you're called to make it a healing. So go do it. So I went down, and it's the funniest knowing that Grandpa probably could do that healing through me just holding that feather. And our spirit could do it. And all I have to do is get out of the way. Does that make sense?
Sure does.
So, you know, with healing's an amazing thing. Angelique, she could talk about healing.
Well, I have seen a lot of beautiful healings happening here on the ranch with Richard and also in our place. And, like I said, my first training was very new age and made physical, and so I learned a lot of different healing techniques. I have been teaching them, but I stopped doing that because then one day I just woke up and felt like it's not so important what I do as long as I'm out of the way. So I think all the techniques help me to let the spirit work through me. But from the moment I started walking the, let's say, red road, his way of life, at the meeting center, I quit doing all that. I don't do workshops, I don't give workshops anymore, and I don't use any of those techniques. It's just, I invite people to come and stay with us. Not just for 2 hours of a session, not for just a weekend, but to come and stay with us for a short time or for a few years to get that healing from the spirit. But a few years ago, I had been born with a dysfunctional kidney, and I always had one kidney that functioned. And suddenly, something happened due to a bacterial infection that I had total kidney failure. And I had to go into the hospital. I think that's now 5 years ago. And I had to go through the kidney dialysis, and I was talking to my doctor, and I had to be on the list for a donor kidney. So I told him, I said, be honest with me, because it was going very fast, and I said, when you put me on the list, I said, I probably die before you get me a kidney. And he said, yeah, it's true. Then I said, so, then I leave the hospital now. And I went to the ranch, and I got my first GBP from Richard, and Richard told me that the spirit said I needed five GBPs and in 1 year time. And after this first GBP, my one kidney that used to be healthy was back on 70%.
Wow.
And all the time, my doctor kept on doing blood tests to see how it was going, and he said, that's amazing. And he asked me what I was doing, and I told him. And then he said, well, keep on doing that. And after a year, I was totally healthy, but surprised, I had two working kidneys instead of one. And what can I say more about healing? But I don't believe in, it's like, nor I, nor healers that I know, nor Turner, nor Richard would ever say, I can heal this. There is a possibility, but you have to do the work yourself. And that is what I love about healing ceremonies like UEP, because you have to make your prayer guys, you go through this preparation, and that makes you feel inside yourself if you're really sincere to do that, and if you're really willing to let go of the disease. Because in that whole process where I stopped having all this pain, I noticed that I had a hard time living without the pain, and that the pain and the disease are in a way also a form of addiction. It's giving you something. And it can be different things. It can be attention, it can be being taken care of, and all these things. So I talked about that with Richard, and then Richard said, yeah, it wants to visit you back. And I said, yeah. And but ever since it got healed, I'm doing very good. And now and then, it goes down a little, because it is my weak spot. But on the other side, I think, it's also the part inside of me that has the most strength. And I'm just only talking about this one healing experience where, well, according to the doctors, I would have died by now. I would not live anymore. And I have seen that happen so many times. But it is also the one that is asking for healing has to make choices. Do you want to? Really want to live? Do you really want to change this? And can you say goodbye to this disease? So I think that's what I can tell about that. I hope.
Oh, yeah, I know Betty Gentleman really would like to be separated from this malady, because she's always been a very, very independent person. By nature, and I know she'd be a lot happier. And she's just a very busy person and likes to do things. And this is getting in the way of what she wants to do. So sounds like we better get her down to the ranch.
Well, you know, maybe she has to look at it like me. I'm a very loving person and give out a lot of love, but maybe I don't know how to take it in. And I think diabetes is about loving yourself.
Well, how did you know she was a Virgo?
I don't know. But healings have been amazing. We just got a beautiful young lady in Virginia that my son's been going down doing ceremonies with. And I don't know how many people, just like Angelique said, that she wouldn't be alive. But, you know, the healing matrix is all about you wanting to live healthy, happy, and whole. And how do you get there? And what do you got to give up? And how do you get to those decisions? But, you know, they said that she was going to pass away, what, in 2 months or some ridiculous thing. And she had cancer in the... her back, her breast, her somewhere else. She had a tumor on her thigh that was so large she couldn't walk upstairs or drive a car. You know, just out of nowhere it came on. And after the very first ceremony, she went back for that CAT. Well, what do you do when they x-ray the whole body?
Yeah, CAT scan.
CAT scan? They went back, and there wasn't any tumor. What happened?
Wow.
Well, you know, the spirit is divine, and you are divine, and you got to make that deal together to be divine. And that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? I like that movie because it showed the brain when it was making thought processes, and it was like lightning and thunder going through the brain. Little parts would light up in the brain. And that's how we see the spirit, is that blue lightning and that so great, you know. Reworking the lightning going into the brain and reworking the thought processes that aren't very healthy for ourselves.
Well, you know,
I like that.
Grandfather Rolling Thunder's people were the Ani Utsiqalasi, the people of the lightning and thunder. I don't know if he ever explained it to you, but he called his friends the Thunder People, and why don't you tell folks a little bit about that? I know you've been given the name.
Well, I've actually been named the same name twice, one by Leonard Krodog and one by another medicine man in Wisconsin, and. So when RT and I met, of course, you know, he liked the name right away. And we talked about, Thunder's just a part of the name. But what I was amazed at, he always called me Thunder Woman. And we're talking about healing. I came in on the road, and I'd always go through Carlin, Nevada, and I'd see RT, and we came in, and he wasn't feeling very well. So I was out cooking for him, and he said, Thunder, come on, Thunder Woman, I want you to do a healing on me. I said, whoa, that was pretty wild. I said, sure, I see whatever you need, you know. And so I went and got the eagle feather, and my former companion went and got his eagle feather, and we did this whole laying on of the feathers. And I swear to God, Archie levitated.
Oh, my God.
And after the healing, he looked at me and he said, you are very powerful, Thunder Woman. And I looked at him and I said, you know, Archie, I probably put a feather on people, I don't know how many times, and none of them have come up off the bed like he did. I said, I think it's you, you know. And just then the thunder just rolled in the sky. You know, the thunder is the rattlesnake. That lightning fast, kaboom, that gets you, like that spirit, aha. So that thunder and lightning is the source of our, that's how we see the spirit. It's that lightning quick action on the, you know, everybody says we live in this world. Are we really in this world? How many levels are we in this world? There's some of us that can see spirit and others that can see other dimensions. It's not all about Native Americans, you know. I had a vision in 1992 that after I had that vision, I had 47 consecutive days of the vision returning, and each time it come, I would get more sick in the physical until the 47th time where I was throwing up blood and had a fever of 107. And a Tibetan came in and did a healing ceremony for me, that stopped that vision. So all the people, I think every person on this planet, Jesus said, he showed us and we could do it like he did, right?
And even greater.
And even greater. So why are we doing it?
Good question.
You see what I mean?
While we wait.
Why are we manifesting? You know, I'd be happy. I'll give you my email number and anyone that wants to help out with these kids in South Dakota.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
by the way, there's a link to the people that are on the page that are when they come to the website, there'll be a page specially for you, and on that page there'll be a lot of information about you and a link to your website, so they'll be able to get to it. But you're at www.marythunder.com.
Uh-huh. But every year we do, since I've been 1983, we get together some 80 elders. We get together for a truck, or sometimes 400 or 500 boxes. I mean, everybody. And it's actually all over the world. Angelique from Switzerland. The kids used to tell me at a boarding school that we helped out every year that they'd go down the hallways and they were so excited when they saw Switzerland, the kids. To me, I've been there. I've been an abandoned child. I've been in foster parent. And I know what it means to get something. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I've never gone down all these years. They always say, come down, Thunder. Help us hand out these gifts. And I said, no. I'd rather the kids kind of see us as spirit, you know? That we love them enough that we just give it, and it comes. And so maybe they'll develop some faith that somebody out there loves them, you know, and it just came for me. So I want to say anybody that would love to, we spend a lot of time, we're working with a little church down in Cannibal that takes care of the whole Standing Rock Reservation. And last year, the kind, beautiful people across this planet, God bless their hearts, there was enough gifts that they could go throughout the Standing Rock Reservation in the church truck and hand out a gift and food to every family in that reservation.
Wow.
Isn't that neat?
That's super. I'm going to refer somebody to you that's in the Houston area who might be able to help. I think she's got quite a few friends. She's a clinical psychologist. Her name is Cynthia, or her last name is Kilroy now. But she ended up with people with me, and she's a mixed blood Cherokee, blonde hair, brown eye, and wonderful person. You'd love to meet her. She's in Houston, and
okay.
You need to get you guys together, and I'll email her and tell her to give you a call, and maybe she can. Her practice kind of went to you-know-where after the Enron thing, but
oh, yeah.
I bet she's still got some clients that'd be willing to help out, and then they'd have some friends and get some things out of Houston.
Just simple little things, like we worked so hard with the Pierre School and Pierre South Dakota boarding school for the kids. And the paper that we got them at Christmas was their whole year's supply of paper.
Oh, wow.
I mean, people don't think of little things like that, that the teachers had to minister out only one sheet for this assignment. That's it.
Yeah, where's the BIA in all this?
Where is the BIA?
Yeah.
I'd like to know. You know, when I went to the reservation the first time in the early 70s, I can't believe it. I just was in a woman's conference up in Dallas. It was called Gather the Women. And the ladies asked, I was on the international panel. Women from all over the world. And on this panel, the lady asked, I'm with this voting group, and we're working to get women to vote. And I want to ask you, women from all over the world, what do you think about us having the right to vote and you not? You know, I'm sitting there and listening. I said, well, how many reservations have you gone to? Once you ask the Indian women what they want to vote for. You know, why is it, that's an insult to other women. Hey, we got the vote, you don't. How do you feel? You know? And this one lady, she took the microphone and she said, it always happens that these people come in to help people. And they always mess it up. People have had their Christmas offering and seen pile of clothes, formals and high heels. What do an Indian person on the reservation who may wear blue jeans and a t-shirt, that's not very much help.
No, it isn't.
I'm not being critiquing. What I'm saying is, hey, let them do it themselves. I always tell people, send a Walmart card. Last year we sent Walmart cards and the minister and his wife got to go buy a bed for an 80-year-old woman that had never had a bed. And she slept on the floor.
Well, you know, I spoke with Oliver Red Cloud's daughter 2-3 years ago, and she said, you know, that really, you know, new things is really what they really would appreciate. They,
yeah.
You know, hand-me-downs are okay, but they're still hand-me-downs.
Well, when you're a child like that, at the boarding school, for example, they called the clothes other people's, OPs, and they wouldn't touch them.
Yeah.
Because their own little pride, you know? And why can't you just get a new coat if you want to do something? Or give a really good coat that, you know, maybe used, but really nice. But I see them coming in, oh, they get the idea, oh, they're just poor kids, so they can have a toy coat. You know?
Yeah.
I give what I like to people.
Well, how does that do for their self-esteem? So that's the biggest problem that Native people have is self-esteem. It's one of the reasons why that we have problems with, you know, cutting each other's throat verbally and literally is because there's some of us that don't have much self-esteem. And
let me tell you a story.
It's very rare.
Of course, I got self-esteem issue back when, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I worked at Dallas in the Tribal Center, which was the only Indian health center in the state of Texas, and still is. And Texas is a mighty big state.
It is.
And but that's the only place Indians could go from all over the state to get health care. So I was an alcohol and drug specialist. And there was a lady and a man had a workshop called the Prosperity Workshop. Well, they sent to the Intertribal Center an invitation for to pay one person's way to go. And that was like a plague, you know. We got the invitation to go to a plague. We didn't want to go there. So I actually drew the lowest straw, or I think it was pencils, in the group, but I had to go to the conference. And so I'm sitting in the conference, and I had a conference, or had a speaker on how to dress for success. And I was listening to her, and she said she had a suit on and a fedora hat, and oh, wow, did she look cool, you know? And never, ever wear spotlight green, spotlight red, spotlight yellow. And I'm sitting there in the crowd in blue jeans and a T-shirt from Santa Fe. So I don't know if you've ever seen them or not, but they're bright yellow with red and green.
Uh-huh.
And I went, oh. And it really hurt my feelings. I actually got tears in my eyes. And I was just looking at the door. The minute this session was over, I was going to be out that door. Well, the lady, she was a funky little lady. She caught me right at the door because she knew I was leaving. And what she said to me was, 2 months ago, I saw you make a presentation for the Indian kids to go to camp to a bunch of corporate people up in Dallas. And you were magnificent. And now it really hurt my feelings for you and for me, so to see tears in your eyes. And I'm sorry and I apologize. But she said, if you'll stay for the rest of the gathering, then what I'll do is you and I will get together and take this pain that we both just felt and turn it into something else. Well, since she was blocking the door anyway, I decided to stay.
Oh, sweet.
And vowing never, ever to come back with the people in Dallas and the snakeskin boots and, you know, Gucci bags and fur coats, ever would I come back there. And what happened is her name was Catherine, and she called me up, and we had dinner and got together, and we developed a whole little scene and a teaching from that pain that we have. And what would happen is they were having the prosperity workshop in a big mansion up in Dallas. So on the break, they'd be out on this beautiful marble veranda, and up I would walk in blue jeans jacket, cowboy boots, and a cowboy hat. It was like Moses parting the sea. You know, I mean, the people were just freaked out by me, and they were trying to get away from me. And then I'd make it worse. You know, hey, you got a cigarette? You got a light? You know, I was just freaking these people out. And it was like when they called them in for break, it was, yay, everybody went running in, and I would wait on the veranda. And about 15 minutes later, then, I would walk into this closed-door room, and you could just read the thought forms. Oh, my God, they let her in. Oh, no, what's going to happen? Is she going to cause a ruckus? You know, and then Catherine would say, I'd like to introduce a friend of mine. She works at an Indian health center, blah, 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 blah. Her clients are drug addicts, alcoholics, and she works on the streets of Dallas, and she's dressed appropriately for her job. So what I get to do is get in front of that crowd and say, hey, Angelique, I offered you I asked you for a cigarette, you freaked out. And Blue Otter, I asked you for a light, you thought I was going to give you some kind of disease. You know, you can't read a book by its cover.
Sure.
So then, I would leave, and I'd go next door, where they do my hair in an updo, and they put earrings on me, and they would put me in Evan Pacone suit, silk shirt, and high heels. They give me my burgundy day timer, and I'd walk back in. And I'd stand there, and I could read the thoughts in the room. Oh, who's that? Oh, wow, what's she going to present? You know what I mean? Different thoughts. And then I'd get up and say, but right before I got up there, Catherine would say, this is my friend. She works at the Indian Health Center. Same speech. And everybody would fall off their chair. I was the same person. And then we talk about the soul and how people, you got to get past the outer presentation.
Oh, yeah.
That's spiritual, you know? So let me go a little further with the story. We did that like 14 plus 30 workshops, and then I was on the road as a spiritual person. And one of my journeys took me to Indianapolis, where before I left Indianapolis, I was head of the American Indian business, and I had counselors underneath me that, not underneath me, but who worked with me, that worked with people on the street. And I got to town, and I found out one of my former counselors was in jail being held for a court process on rape. So I went to see the attorney. I was wearing my blue jeans, cowboy boots, blue jean jacket, and t-shirt. And he said, I want you to be a character witness. And I said, aha, I've learned something, you see, in that white man's prosperity workshop. So I went back and took my duffel bag and dumped out my Evan Pacone suit, my silk shirt. I went as well as I could and put my hair up in how they taught me, put my earrings on, and I walked into the courtroom the next day. I saw the judge, the prosecuting attorney, and the defending attorney all making a deal to send my counselor down the river. So when they looked up, they thought I was an attorney. They looked up and they said, Counselor, what case are you here on? And I said the boy's name. And I said, but I can't take much time because I got to go out here on the street and have a press conference. And they, whoa, stop. So he did get off. When they asked me what I wanted, I said, all I want is blood tests. I want you to prove it to me, 100%. They couldn't. They had to let him go. A week later, the person that did it was caught. So I learned something there. And it's about self-esteem. That pain, that original self-esteem hurt could be changed around. And I learned something when I let go of my own pain. And it's very helpful now to others. Because I see people... When somebody's having a problem with me, I put the face of Jesus on them so that they can, I can hear what they're saying.
Right. Yeah, unto the least of these, whatsoever thou doest to the least of these, my brethren, thou doest unto me.
Oh.
Jesus said that. Well, I hate to say it, but we're out of time.
Oh, and, it's been adorable. You got my email, so if anyone wants to help out the kids.
You bet. We'll do this again in another few months if you like.
Like to?
And if you have any other elders that you think ought to be on the show, we'd sure love to. We need a show every week. Does anybody else?
Well, I think one elder that would be wonderful for your show is Steve McFadden. I don't know if you've met him or not.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's written many books, Wisdom of the Elders, but he's got an amazing community farming philosophy that's absolutely what we need right now.
Really?
And I got tons of elders. Anytime you want to talk, you should call up my son. He's Richard.
Okay. That sounds good, yeah. That sounds...
Well, then, want
to say anything to Mike? I really enjoy it, and I hope that you can keep up doing this work. It's
maybe
wonderful.
I don't know if any of your listeners out there have grant opportunities, but in next June I'm supposed to go to Italy to take the woman's dance, and I'd like to find a grant to be able to take all my helpers over there.
Yeah.
And then when we get through with the one in Italy, at peace gathering, the guardians of the Mother Earth, then we're going to Angeliques in Switzerland to do the fourth dance there.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth dance. So, hey, maybe somebody knows of a grant place or somebody wants to go over and go to her dance in the peace gathering. It's a wonderful opportunity.
That'd be an outstanding funding opportunity for somebody. I think I might know. I was reading I'll email you something. I think I might know somebody that might be able to help you out in St. Louis.
Well, why I have the helpers is one of our girls is an amazing creative artist, has developed these amazing Egyptian costumes and native costumes, and we do the oral mythological telling of the story of Isis, the story of the white buffalo calf woman, and then the story of all the deities, goddesses of Egypt, like Hathor, Sekhmet. And it's so wonderful because it's this moving story. And the man there for the peace gathering, he's a wonderful man. He's the one that helped me get me there to see the Dalai Lama and just recently took me into Italy where I was named Woman of Peace. That was too cool. I got a plaque. It's a Dama of Peace, Woman of Peace. And his name's Costanzo, and he wants so much to have all of us there, but can only afford 2 tickets. So how can I have dance and sing and run around and do everything? You see what I mean? I got to have those girls, too.
Right, right. Right, well, let's see. We'll beat the bushes for you.
With you, brother. Thank you for calling us.
Hey, thank you so much for being on. I know Tina Eagleheart Chinook is waiting with bated breath to hear this interview. And
she is such a beautiful friend. Thank you, Tina.
Okay. Well, folks, this has been another one. Hope you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Aww. You know, we are all so connected in this earth and in this life, and I'm so grateful.
Oh.
It makes me feel good today for RT.
Well, thanks a lot for being on Grandmother Thunder. Bye-bye now.
You are listening to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. This is a Native American-owned and operated internet radio station broadcasting from the Missouri Ozarks in the United States of America. We offer listen-on-demand interviews with medicine people through our website at prophecykeepers.com. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, current kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine men of the American Plains, holy people of Africa, or the present-day Ottawahees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Levant, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. Thanks for listening, and visit prophecykeepers.com today, or simply do a web search for the terms Native Prophecy. You are listening to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. This is a Native American-owned and operated internet radio station broadcasting from the Missouri Ozarks in the United States of America. We offer listen-on-demand interviews with medicine people through our website at prophecykeepers.com. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, current kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine men of the American Plains, holy people of Africa, or the present-day Ottawahees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Levant, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. Thanks for listening, and visit prophecykeepers.com today, or simply do a web search for the terms Native Prophecy.